Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. Just remember, live your life.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs.
The only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Janet Rucker of New York, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences. Now home to The Witching Hour, a new series that pays tribute to the special hour of night that welcomes the alluring, terrifying, and visually astonishing. In December, experience all over again on the big screen Rosemary's Baby, Hereditary, Tetsuo, The Iron Man, and Black Christmas. Every Wednesday night. Information at Upstate Films. Films.org.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, December 9th. We are 94.2% of the way through the year. There are 11 days left until the official beginning of winter. Local early morning temperatures range from 31 degrees in Copaig to 36 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. We have snowfall that was recorded for yesterday. We have 1.5 inches in Fiera Bush, 2 in South Burn and Halcott Center. It will be colder this time than it was last year. We are looking at about 200 heating degrees for the coming week. Today is looking pretty wet and cool. Rain is coming from the southwest and it should arrive around 11 a.m. for most in our area. It strengthens into the afternoon when we see our high temperature of 42 degrees at 1 p.m. Overnight, the rain continues and we see a low of 36 degrees. Tomorrow morning may show a break in the rain, but it won't last very long. A chance of rain will be around all day long, and we get a high of 48 at 4 p.m. After dark, rain chances increase, and we'll see a low of 40 degrees. Wednesday, more rain, high of 58. Thursday, it is finally dry, but also windy and cold with a high of 38. Sunset today will be at 4:10 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 509 kilometers per second, with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently okay below 8 megahertz, but only overnight. There are low chances of aurora this evening. Good luck seeing them with the cloud cover. The current sunspot number is 103, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
the Public News Service Monday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. First to New York, where Daniel Penny, a former Marine who choked a fellow subway rider on an uptown F train last year, was acquitted on a charge of criminally negligent homicide on Monday, ending a case that had come to exemplify New York City's post-pandemic struggles. That for the New York Times. Meantime, from ABC News, police are questioning a man in Altoona, Pennsylvania, for the brazen Midtown Manhattan murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. ABC News reports the man was on a Greyhound bus traveling through Altoona on Monday when sources said he got off, walked into a McDonald's, where witnesses recognized him from the images of the suspect circulated by police. Labor unions in Massachusetts say the state's new climate law will create good jobs while reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
The law streamlines the siting and permitting process for new clean energy infrastructure and ensures contracted companies pay a fair wage. Ryan Murphy with Climate Jobs Massachusetts says smaller wind and solar projects will include more registered apprenticeship programs to create not just jobs, but careers.
It's really making sure that these green jobs that the bill is going to create are actually good jobs with good pay and good benefits.
He says energy jobs have long provided strong wages, health care, and pension plans, and the green jobs of the future will do the same. I'm Catherine Carley.
Next, students at 8 Arkansas community colleges can benefit from new micro courses to prepare for the workforce.
The schools are collaborating with the Education Design Lab to create a curriculum of credentialing classes or micro pathways that, when combined, prepare a student for a job at or above the local median wage. Lucas Paxton is the director of digital learning at Northwest Arkansas Community College. He says they're getting input from employers and community leaders to ensure students have the skills needed for available positions.
We're seeing a transition to less need for the bachelor's degree, less need for the associate's degree. They want that targeted training that's specific to the job that they have available.
He says students can complete the credentials in less than a year, saving them time and money. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
And when the world's richest person was on the world's most streamed podcast recently, misinformation was spread about the meat industry in a state like Wyoming, where there are more cows than people. That raises concerns. In the Joe Rogan Experience with Elon Musk, Musk said the amount of beef people eat is irrelevant to climate change. Scientific data shows otherwise. Boston University professor Michelle Amezien says misinformation is often fueled by industry.
That's essentially the playbook on deceiving people about the harmful impacts of certain products. And so we see this again regarding climate change.
Amazon likens it to when tobacco companies use what she calls advertorials to claim there was no connection between cigarette smoking and health. This story produced as a Sentinel Wyoming News Service collaboration. This is Public News Service.
A new report says fossil fuel lobbyists in two states with strong transparency and disclosure laws are not making full disclosures, including in Maryland. Simone Perez has that story.
Maryland ranks 7th in the country and gets a grade of C+ in the report from a group called F- that tracks fossil fuel lobbying efforts across the U.S. James Browning with F- says Maryland has strong laws requiring lobbyists to disclose their salaries and the bills they're working on, but its audit found these disclosures are being made less than 50% of the time. Browning says some lobbyists also appear to have major conflicts of interest.
What we also found is this rampant culture of lobbyists being sort of double agents for oil and gas companies at the same time they're working for climate-conscious institutions.
Browning points to Johns Hopkins University's lobbying firm actively opposing a climate bill on behalf of the American Petroleum Institute. The lobbying firm did not disclose that conflict.
Minnesota is credited for having strong wetland protections, but the research community warns the growing presence of factory farms in the Midwest makes it harder to shield these natural resources. Mike Moen reports.
A new report from the Union of Concerned Scientists says 30 million acres of wetlands in the upper Midwest are at risk of destruction by industrial agriculture and other heavy industries. The authors say the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision to strip some federal protections from wetlands accelerates the potential loss. The union, Stacy Wood, says because of the role wetlands play in flood mitigation, states in this region are likely to have a harder time limiting damage from a major rain event.
We know that flooding is a significant issue. It's expensive and it's getting worse as the climate warms.
While Minnesota's laws might help offset some of the federal impact, Ford says neighboring states like South Dakota and Iowa are more vulnerable to wetland loss.
Advocates for Public Lands Access are raising alarms about a lawsuit that could be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court Eric Tegedoff has more.
Utah has filed a suit arguing the U.S. Bureau of Land Management is holding about 18.5 million acres of land in the state unconstitutionally, saying it can't keep unappropriated land.
Streaming somewhere else, but I'm going to play it right now.
Okay.
All right. Looks like we are on. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. Here we are again. On the second Monday of December, and it is raining pouring over here in Housatonic, South Berkshire County. Probably raining over there in Green and Columbia as well. The snow has passed. Hope people are dry, cozy, warm, listening to your local community radio station. This is your host, Kieran Riley, here for 2 hours till 6 p.m., and I have right off the bat a very special guest, Amadeus Julian Regucera, who is one of the curators of at MPAC. He's a curator of music, and we're going to talk music. And there's a special special events coming up by a cellist named Charles Curtis. We're going to get into it, talk all about Charles Curtis and the cello, and all sorts of other good stuff. So stay tuned. In just a second, we'll go on with Amadeus. So first, I want to play just a little bit. Here's Charles Curtis with a song. This is, I guess, with Terry Jennings from 1960. This is an old school one. Have a listen to this. God, I love the cello. The cello is awesome. Here we go. Is that not the most appropriate and epic rainy, cold day music right there? God, it's perfect. We could just listen to Charles Curtis for the next 2 hours, and I think all would be well. So, but we're going to have a convo right now. We have Amadeus on the line. Amadeus Julian Regucera, welcome to the Monday Afternoon Show. Thank you for zooming in from MPAC. How's it going?
Hey, Kieran. Thanks for having me. Things are good here. Have a couple of artists in residence this week, and Charles, I believe, is arriving from the West Coast tonight. So, busy week here at MPAC.
Pretty awesome. So, Charles is from the West Coast. We are on the East Coast. So, MPAC, you're up at RPI in Troy. So, do you live up near Troy?
Yeah, I live downtown Troy.
Okay, yeah, my buddy lives right on 3rd Street there.
I do too.
He bought a house way back. Listen, now we're getting off subject. See, I'm a tangentialist. This is the risk of cost of doing business. But he bought way back 15 years ago. It was fire damage. The roof had all fire, everything, for like nothing. It's a 3-story brownstone right near that little park there. There's a cool little park.
Yeah, it's a great little town.
I love it. So you and my buddy are neighbors, and you're near the synagogue.
Yeah.
It's a really cool synagogue. I have friends that go there. I was actually on a peace walk that went through the synagogue. It's a pretty cool neighborhood. Awesome. So Troy representing MPAC. Tell me what's good at MPAC. How's it going? How long you been there? And what's the good news?
Yeah, so I've been the curator here for 2 years now. I moved from California, actually, and composer as well as a curator. Funny story about Charles is he was actually my professor as an undergraduate when I was initially. We had met as I was a student in one of his classes. back in the early 2000s.
Sorry, he was a professor where?
UC San Diego, University of California, San Diego.
So you went out to UC San Diego and he was one of your professors in music?
Yeah. I was actually a biochemistry major at the time, and it was actually after taking his class that I decided to switch majors and go back to music. I'd been trained as a classical pianist as a child, but I kind of abandoned my studies and sort of tried to do something slightly more, something that I thought would make my parents happy.
You're such a good kid.
I took his class. It was called Contemporary Music, and it turned out to be chock full of, experimental type kind of Dada, Fluxus, weird, avant-garde, obscure, esoteric music, and I was completely taken with it. And so changed the trajectory of my life.
Speaking of my buddy from Troy, his ex-partner, baby mama, it was a very avant-garde goth cellist in the area named Rasputina.
Wow, great name.
Rasputina is awesome. They actually just performed somewhere in the mix. Might have been involved with MPAC, I don't know. But cello's an awesome instrument, and I always think of it more of as a classical, beautiful. If you go through Charles Curtis's work, there's a lot of music by Bach that he plays.
He does both. You know, he's one of those versatile artists who can, play in a lot of genres. And I think actually these concerts this weekend kind of showcase a little bit of that. He's a lot of his interests lie in different tunings of the cello, things that help the instrument resonate more fully. And other, sort of pop music, like we were talking about before we went on air. You know, he was in King Missile for a little bit, the avant-garde band from the 80s, 90s. Yeah. He'll be playing, a composition of his that's very inspired by pop music and sort of Indian raga, Indian improvisatory music, called Unfinished Song. Where he'll be playing along with pre-recorded cello, so it'd be like a piece for multiple cellos and sine waves, sine tones. So very kind of gorgeous, kind of more popular music. But he'll also play medieval music.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So I'm over here just over the border in Berkshire County. We're in the land of Yo-Yo Ma.
Yep.
Yo Ma. Yeah. That's right. Plays at Tanglewood all the time, has a house right here in the neighborhood.
Nice.
It's just cool to have that legend around our area. I have a very dear friend named Vedran Smailovic. He's the cellist of Sarajevo, and one of his dreams, he's totally rock star, crazy guy, played in the war, but he wanted to do a rock opera. He had these ideas. The cello packs this sort of power. It just seems that allows for this sort of possibility for experimentation, avant-garde, all this stuff. And this guy's been doing it since the 80s with all these different, it says here, I'm looking at it, tied to uptown, downtown New York City scenes, collaboration with La Monte Young, Alvin Lucier, Eliana Radiga, as well as poetry rock pioneers, King Missile, among others. This guy's been, it sounds like, rocking it out.
Yeah, he's been all over the place. Uptown, he'll play, like you said, Bach, he'll play, classical music, but then downtown, he'll play, you know, with the experimental cats, improvisation, noise music. I mean, you mentioned Aileen Radig. She's a French composer. And on Friday, there's we'll do a 65-minute long piece, so just over an hour, a single piece by Aileen Radig. And yeah, what he does is he retunes the entire cello so that you get this kind of like grainy, growling, like sort of really haunting sound. So, you know, you have, you know, he kind of turns the cello inside out by retuning the strings, and you get this really experimental type of piece of music. But yeah, actually a cool story about MPAC is, you know, it's this like architectural marvel, you know, it's this big glass building. It's got four huge venues in it. And it's sort of like acoustically tuned to be like, to have like the perfect sound. And the way they sort of tested it is they actually had a cello. They had a cellist come in and sort of like play in all different parts of the concert hall and like face it a little to the right, face it a little to the left. And so they were able to do these tests on the acoustics of the building using a cello. So one of my motivations for getting a cello in MPAC is because in a lot of ways, the building was made to showcase something like the cello, this like, as you say, this sort of gorgeous, big sounding instrument. So excited to have that going on this weekend.
Yeah, let's hone in on the details on that, Amadeus, if we could. So we're talking to Amadeus Julen Rugusera, MPAC Music Curator, and upcoming series, and the name of it is called Within Without Limit, and it's Charles Curtis on cello. So what's exactly happening this weekend? Yeah. It sounds like it's Friday, and there's a Saturday one as well. What's the schedule?
Yeah. So on Friday the 13th,
Ooh, baby.
Yeah. 7 p.m., there'll be a concert in our smaller studio. It's called Studio 2. It's a gorgeous sounding room. It's a little more intimate. And he'll be playing, like I said, the Aileen Radig's piece called Nalyorla. It's kind of a weird word. But it essentially is a word means unity. But it's for this detuned or retuned cello I was talking to you about. So that's an entire concert of just one piece of music, and that's on Friday. And then on Saturday, he moves to a different venue in the building, our concert hall, which is this huge concert hall, and he plays a mixed program, another piece by Aileen Radig called Occam 5, a piece by a colleague of mine named Carolyn Chen called Ra Ra Avi, a piece of his own, the one I mentioned for multiple cellos and sine tones called Unfinished Song, and some music by the 14th century sort of medieval composer Guillaume de Machaut, who's a French guy, wrote really, really gorgeous vocal music in the 14th century, and Charles is playing cello transcriptions of that vocal music. So two concerts, two different venues, two very different sound worlds, both really exciting. So yeah, and the Saturday concert on the 14th is at 2 p.m. So a nice matinee show for everyone.
Pretty cool. Oh man. So let's talk about this experimental music a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's important important, and especially part of my enjoyment of doing the Monday afternoon show and working with WGXC Community Radio, is the educational value, the musical education that I get. It's like, this is just a piece of what I get out of it, volunteering here. But I have the opportunity once a week to, you know, hopefully make a little bit of time to get into different music and what's out there, new music, old music. And it's, you could spend your lifetime trying to research music and you won't scratch the surface of what's out there in the entire globe.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what I meant to ask you is, how do you feel about the importance of challenging oneself to not force yourself to listen, but like, what is the value of challenging oneself to listen to something that is not quite the perfect harmony of what your ear prefers? So in other words, yeah, like new music and something that you don't normally listen to, or like experimental music, or we do something here on Community Radio and WGXC, Transmission Arts, and our Saturdays are devoted to that. And I have a really hard time sometimes with some of the Transmission Arts performers, some of the presenters. I'm just like, it's screeching, like deafening, like, it's trying to like scramble my brain. I can't listen to this.
Yeah.
But then like, there's a way to listen to it, like with an, I think it's really important to, for people to really break down those barriers, listen to stuff you don't typically like. And what is your take on this? And where does Charles Curtis fit into this and experimental music in general? Okay. Open-ended question. Yeah. Sorry, Amadeus.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, this is great. I mean, this conversation around listening to new music, I think, is an important one because, you know, in our day-to-day, we get kind of like caught up in routine, right? In sort of routine things we do, routine things we listen to. And in that, we get caught up in routine ways of listening and hearing to the music we like. I think when your question of challenging oneself, you know, it challenging, the word challenge implies kind of like being uncomfortable. And I don't think it necessarily needs to be uncomfortable. I think it's just, not just, but it's a way of, you know, broadening your perspective, you know, being curious. I think, I know, especially for me, kind of trying to practice curiosity is something that I've been trying to do more as curator here, because curiosity can sometimes be the enemy of practicality, can sometimes be at odds with, you know, having to do my 9-to-5 or having to do certain tasks. So I like to listen to new music to practice my curiosity. And listening to new music can be rewarding immediately, or it can take a little bit of work. You know, just as we learn something new, you know, it takes a little bit of doing. And I think regardless of what I listen to, you know, as a curator, I listen to a lot of new music and a lot of it I don't like, but I think everything has a little kernel of something that I can enjoy. And, you know, that little kernel becomes a little bit of a window. And, you know, that window gets bigger, gets smaller. And, you know, at a certain point, maybe I can crawl through it and sort of like really live in this world that this new piece of music is trying to create. And so my curiosity allows that window to get just a little bit bigger, maybe big enough for me to fit through. Maybe I just don't have the attention for it at that moment, but I'll come back to it, you know, and then maybe I just don't like it, and that's okay. You know, we don't have to like everything we, you know, we listen to, but you've given it a chance and you've given yourself a shot to sort of like broaden your sort of life experience. And maybe you'll discover something new that you like, And, you know, in the end, that's probably the most rewarding thing. Little short story about Charles Curtis's class that I took. You know, we always like think, okay, when I'm listening to something, I got to pay attention. I got to sit up straight. You know, I'm in class, you know, he's playing these crazy pieces of music through these loudspeakers in class. You know, it's a big class. It's like 80 people. But he tells us, you know, you can get out of your seat. You can lie down, get comfortable. If you fall asleep, that's okay. You know, so he really and sort of ingrained this idea that listening, we don't have to listen one way and we can be comfortable when we listen. And so like when I taught, so I taught music back in California to college students. Whenever I would play something in class, I was just said, you know what, this is probably going to be weird for a lot of you. So, you know, let's really get comfortable. You know, if you want to lie down, lie down. If you want to close your eyes, go ahead. You know, do what you need to do to let yourself, you know, like I said, find that window to crawl into, find that door to walk through so that the, you know, the music can speak to you on that level, or you can approach the music on your own terms and not feel intimidated by it.
Totally. And another thing is just the self-education about listening to something that's challenging and then hating it and then taking the time to reflect and be like, okay, why do I hate that?
Right, exactly.
And like, what is it in me that has a visceral reaction to a sound of amplified, distorted nails on chalkboard? Okay, right. now that's kind of a human condition, no-brainer. But like, why does this bother me so much? Is it the auto-tune voice? Is it the is it the basic like beat that never changes of this new pop song? I don't know, but like, there's got to be something good about this young woman or man or person singing this song, and like you challenge yourself to like make that connection. I think it's a really good like self-development tool to do this exercise. I love it. And so and here we are, and it doesn't sound like what is going to be performed on Friday and Saturday at MPAC by Charles Curtis is going to be nails on the chalkboard. It sounds like there's going to be some really beautiful stuff. There's going to be maybe some experimental, challenging stuff, but like I feel like it's like super valuable cultural act that's going on up there this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, like you said at the very beginning, the cello is a wonderful tool of music making, a wonderful instrument, got a long history. And Charles is just, you know, exploring different facets of that history, different facets of that, of the instrument, not sort of never going against the instrument, but sort of getting in there and exploring different ways that the instrument can be expressive. And, you know, I think when people think and hear and talk about the cello, I think a lot of people are talking about expressivity and, you know, sort of emotion and expression. And I think the concerts this weekend show a different kind of side of that. So I think people will think it's, you know, it might be a little weird at first, but I think a lot of people will in the end find it pretty beautiful.
It sounds great. Sounds great. And then, yeah, the space that's been created up there for events like this is pretty epic. And here you are, Amadeus, curator of music up there at MPAC, and that must feel pretty good to be able to curate and enjoy, you know, people like this, especially your old professor coming in and doing a major performance like this. It must be pretty awesome.
I haven't talked to him in 20 years, and I just had this idea that a cello would be a great way to kind of mellow out, like you were saying earlier with the recording and the weather and stuff. I think the cello would be a great way to kind of like have a sort of like like a mellow, chill way to sort of like end the season here. So, you know, some gorgeous music to take us into the holidays.
I like that. I like that. And also just creative, good stuff too. Just like, you know, just challenging, you know. I like that. I like that he brings that little edge too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great. So this Friday and Saturday, the big event at MPAC, folks, the series is called Within Without Limit. It's Charles Curtis on cello, and I'm talking with Amadeus Julian Regucera, music curator at MPAC. This is awesome that you guys are doing this up there. This is kind of a new place, this MPAC situation, deep in the midst of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, which is, you know, I always comment, you know, when we talk about MPAC, is that it's just so unusual in a way to have this cultural center in the middle of an engineering and technological polytechnic institute, which doesn't always seem to go along. But what's going on right now is just a pretty cool marriage of different. Charles Curtis from 1960 with Terry Jennings' song. He will be at Impact this weekend. And thanks again to Amadeus Julian Regucero for calling in the Monday afternoon show. Such a great convo. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We have some pretty serious stuff going on in Syria right now. Well, here's Jeffrey Sachs. I think we should play some of this. The Assad government has been overthrown. Syrian rebels have taken over after a 12-day battle. And this is huge. After 50 years of the Assad family having power in Syria, this is all part of the geopolitical reality and the Middle East conundrum that faces the U.S., Israel, and others.
I regard the United States as the most lawless and dangerous country in the world by far. You cannot believe how much misinformation we get every single day. Because I have advised more than 100 governments around the world. I have seen things with my own eyes. I've seen U.S. CIA coups with my own eyes. Governments lie, but superpowers make super lies. And if you're running the largest war machine in the world, hey, you are going to lie all the time. The entire Iraq war was not because they thought there were weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction was the outcome of a focus group inside the Pentagon. How are we going to sell this war to the American people? Who made the decision 2 days ago that ATACMS can shoot deep inside Russia? Another brilliant move. We don't even know if the President of the United States is compos mentis right now. We have a deep state that takes these decisions, not a word of explanation to the American people. It's all lies. And I've seen it all through my life because I've been advisors to prime ministers and to presidents and to central bank governors and to some of the wonderful people on this panel. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot.
Jeffrey Sachs has seen a lot. There's seeing and there's not being able to see, hearing, not being able to hear. The age of post-truth is upon us. So who knows what's really going on over there? Who knows what's really going on with this new president? It's a crazy town all over. But beautiful music, in my opinion, holds innate truth and beauty and goodness. And that cannot be disputed. And one of the most beautiful singers, the most beautiful songs I've heard is this one called Love in Damascus. This is from Syria by Lena Chamamian. And it's just beautiful music in the time of suffering, warfare, geopolitical mayhem.